There's a lot of people involved here, but there's two people that I really want to thank, and it's Pastor Greg Long and Denise Barrett. They really, 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 really did a lot to make what happened last. Greg, I see you over there. Stand up. Where'd you go? You were. Stand up. Where's Denise? She back there somewhere? Over there, there's Denise. Let's give them a hand. It was absolutely incredible. Thank you so much. Folks, we've got to do something different next year. We if you were here, you saw it. I mean, we parked where where it was not intended that we be parking cars. So we gave out 2,500 vouchers, but there were more people than that because I had people walking in from the neighborhood, and somehow they knew who I was, and they said, "Where do I get? There's no more vouchers, and I still want to eat." So we had lots of folks here. Most interestingly, I personally talked to over 200 people that have not been to this church ever in their lives. There were more than 1,000 people on our property this last week who have never been here. And I want to thank you for going out of your way to help invite them and getting them to come. And folks, starting a conversation starts with some kind of an invitation, at least something to talk about. And you guys are doing great, and I want to thank you for your hard work. Thank God we've got a church full of workers. Now, if you had anything to do whatsoever with, if you planned, cooked, if you handed out tickets, if you worked at one of the inflatables, if you directed traffic, I don't care what you did. If you did anything at the Fall Family Festival, just stand to your feet. Just stand right up. Stand up. Let's give these folks a hand, man. It is absolutely an army. Thank you so much. If I remember right, Greg said he had like 160-plus volunteers that all had something that they were assigned to do. So we thank the Lord for that tremendous, tremendous blessing. Down in southeast Texas and southwest Louisiana, there is a great need going on right now. How many of you are aware of Harvey? You've heard about it, read about it, talked about it. And we, in the past, in Katrina and Joppa and Joplin, Missouri, and other places, every time there's been a need, our church has responded. We're going to respond once again, and we're going to respond in conjunction with the Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa, the conventions of Iowa. There's a disaster relief program that we've cooperated with before. We're going to do that again. And you can do one of two things. You can give just to there's many, many avenues. You could give, and that's something you can give through our church to the disaster relief program. But there is there's another way that we're going to do it, and that is many of you would like to go get your hands dirty. You'd like to get involved, go down and see it, and be a part of it. So once again, Grace Church, we're going to raise a team, and we're going to go. September the 16th, up at First Family, our sister church to the north, there's going to be a training time. And to go with the Convention of Iowa, you have to go through the training. They have to, you know, give you credentials and all those kind of things, which you can understand why that would be so necessary. And so I'm looking for men and women, looking for young and old, looking for people that want to, that you're ready to take a trip, you got the time or can get the time off, you want to make a difference. They go in increments of 1 week. And so this is going to be a long-term thing. It may be over the entire next year. We may take more than one trip, more than two, more than three. We don't know. But what I'd like you to do, if you're interested in the disaster relief and you would like to be a part, hands-on, then I'd like you to write the word Harvey on your connection card. On the bottom, write it down there, Harvey. Write it on there, and then make sure that your correct phone number and correct email address is on there. Pastor Sean is going to be heading this up, and we're going to see what we can do to make a difference down there. Folks, if anybody on earth ought to extend a hand, it ought to be us at a time like this. And so let's do this for the glory of God and for the gospel's sake. One thing I will say about that I was in our prayer group early this morning. We were together praying, and we thank God for this. Among those people that were suffering so much down there in southeast Texas, and they've lost their homes, lost their houses, lost their things, and they were standing around looking at each other, talking. They were in furniture stores and convention centers and concert halls and sleeping on cots and on the floor and anywhere else. What was taken was everything material, but what was given was a spirit of unity and a spirit of camaraderie and a spirit of fellowship and love one toward another, that it only happens in a disaster. Nobody was asking what political party anybody belonged to down there. They were just loving and helping each other. And folks, the kind of revival that I was preaching about last week is more apt to come through a disaster than it is through God pouring out economic blessings. Don't let revival go out of your mind. I'm going to be talking a lot about that in the days to come. I told you a couple of weeks ago that we were going to do Chuck Morris Day on the 10th of September, but it's too complicated to get it done that quickly, and the best time to do it is at Missions Conference. And so on the 22nd of October, the last Sunday of the Missions Conference, there will be a tribute page in the brochure or in the magazine for the Missions Conference. That is the time that we will allow you to hear, or we'll encourage you at the church to give toward Sue and Hannah's future and in a memorial gift. But you remember, you have to make any gifts directly to Sue Morris, not through Grace Church. The IRS won't let us do it that way. But it makes more sense. That's when it's going to happen. It's going to be October the 22nd, and so you can be looking forward to that and getting yourself ready for that. As always, your connection card, the rest of you can take that out and use it. If you're our guest today, we welcome you. It's a privilege to have guests every week, and today's not different. We're glad that you're here. I got to tell you, I'm amazed to look at the crowd that's here this morning because, you know, people are in parks and on the road and driving, and they're here and there. We got at least, you know, I've heard a couple of hundred up at the camp, the family camp. And who are all you people anyway that are here this morning? It's just great to look out and see this thing so full. So I'm just glad you're here. It's wonderful. And thank God, no matter what's going on, there's some people that want to come and be here and hear God's word and sing and praise God and give. And boy, we're just so thankful for each and every one of you that are here. Last thing I want to say is that event that Matt was talking about a few moments ago, this parade. We are not doing a parade. This is a parade they do every year in that district, and we heard about it, and we're joining the parade in order to do a couple of things. We want to make our presence known, and then we're getting information ready to pass out to all of the children that'll be on the parade route. We're getting information ready to let them know about the event that we're having here at Grace Church for the children, for the middle schoolers, where they can come during the school hours to the church for 2 hours of instruction, once for the elementary, once for the middle school, and they can do it once a month. So that's two times a month for us, one time a month for each of those children. And boy, it's just a tremendous opportunity. In addition, we need lots of people to help us give out candy and all those kind of stuff. So that's what it's going to be. You've seen these parades, like these football parades they do in different neighborhoods. Well, that's what they're doing up there. The information you can find out next at 1:30 next Sunday right out here in the atrium. Just come ready to serve if you want to. It'll be a tremendous, tremendous time together. If in your worship folder you had a scripture sheet, it says at the top, the right to work, and we're going to get right at it this morning. And what I want you to do right now is I want us to find out, this is Labor Day weekend, and we thank God for the ability that God has given us to have the physical ability to work, and also that there is work to do. How many of you glad we live in a country where, thankfully, there's still jobs to do? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Sean, I want you to stand up, and I want you to go, and I want these people to tell you in the microphone what they do for a living. And when you hear what you do for a living, if you hear it, I want you to stand up. All right? So, I want you to tell us what you do for a living. Bonnie, you're first. Here's what she does for a living. She is a homemaker, and she takes care of her husband, and she took care of her children, and she did other things as well, bookstores and taught Spanish. But the biggest thing she did was she was a mother and a homemaker. Is anybody out here that's a mother and a homemaker? Just stand up. Stand up. Where are you? All right. Very good. Thank you. God bless you. All right, now there's all kinds of other individual things you do. We want to find out, what does Grace Church do? What do we do? So, stick the microphone up there. Tell us what we do.
I mix all the pizza dough for Northern Lights Pizza.
All right, so
he's a cook.
He's a cook. You got any cooks in here? Where are all the cooks? Look at there, we got cooks all over the place back there. Good, all right, mm-hmm. Keep going. Find somebody else. All what right. does Grace Church do?
I work at the post office.
Post office.
Postal worker.
Postal
Watch
worker.
That one.
Where are you? Where are you? Come on, be honest. There they are. They're all over the building.
I'm a regional manager. What? A regional manager.
All right, management.
Management. Hey, manager. How many of you are in management? Awesome. Raise your hand or stand up. Stand up. They don't want to stand up. All right.
I'm a salesman.
Salesman. How many salesmen we got in the church? Raise your hand. We got any salesmen?
Work at Hy-Vee.
Some of them are honest. All right, go ahead.
I work at Hy-Vee.
All right, grocers. Got any grocers here?
How many grocers we got? Raise your hand up. Where are you? All right, keep going. What does Grace Church do? That's what we want to know. All right?
Process engineer.
A what?
Process engineer.
Process engineer. Let's just call it engineering. How many of you are in engineering of any kind? Raise your hand up. Come on. Stand up. All right, very good.
Information technology.
Information
technology. Where's our IT guys?
Now, let's stop on that one a minute. Stop. Stand up, because I know there's a bunch of these people. Come on.
IT,
come on. IT.
I need to find who that
is.
Okay,
very good. Excellent. What else do great
people
do?
Here we go. I know this guy.
I'm a carpet layer.
Carpet layer. Raise your hand if you're a carpet layer.
Come on. Anything construction.
There we go, back there.
Anything construction.
How about construction in general? You're in construction. Stand to your feet. Come on. I know we got a bunch of them. Yeah. Stand to your feet.
Awesome.
All right. Very good.
I might need you guys in a few weeks to go down south with me.
Where's our tooth fixer dentists?
Dentist. Stand up.
Dentist.
We got any more dentists. There we go.
Awesome.
Works at the dentist. All right.
Educator.
Educator. Stand up, all of you. Come on, stand up. Look at this.
All right.
Very good.
All right, here's one of those guys that works one day a week.
I'm a hymn heister.
All right, how many of you are engaged vocationally? Come on, vocationally in Christian service. Raise your hand. Stand up. If you're a worker at this church, stand up. Vocationally in Christian service. You may be a Christian school. You may be here. All right, very good. All right, keep it going.
I work at the landfill. I work at the dump. So.
Sanitation workers. You got
sanitation.
Raise your hand. Anybody else? Any sanitation? Mark has got the whole thing covered by himself.
If you make trash, then you can sanitize.
I deliver flowers.
Oh, florist.
Awesome. Pretty cool.
Nice.
Flowers, florist. Do we have any other florists in here? Right here. There's one. Okay.
Right.
What else?
Highway maintenance worker.
Maintenance worker for the state of Iowa, right?
State of Iowa, yeah.
How many
that's
of you are
right.
You work for the state of Iowa? Raise your hand up. Let's see. Come on. I don't mean postal workers now. All right, we got a bunch of them.
No, come on.
Policeman.
Policeman. Right. Yeah.
Law enforcement. Woo! Awesome.
We got any more police, sheriffs, or anybody like that here today? All right, what else?
Meet me halfway.
It's not a real job, big job, but stay-at-home mom.
Well, that's what I was talking about
stay
a little bit earlier.
Home,
very
that's
good.
Right.
That is a real job. What are you talking about? All right.
Architect.
We got any architects here. All right.
Okay.
Very good.
I'm trying to see.
Don't we have a single lawyer in the whole house?
A single what?
Lawyer.
Lawyer. Yeah, we do. I know somewhere.
Oh.
Training to be a supervisor at a restaurant.
Restaurant business. Very good. We got a resident lawyer right over here, so everybody, let's make sure that Eric gets to say hello, and then anybody else.
There he is.
Anybody else work in law? You're a paralegal, or you
I
do
want
anything
him to say
having
it.
To do with law?
Attorney.
There you go.
Anybody else? Okay.
Anyone else? Very good.
Let's see. I think we got some doctors.
Nursing.
Very good. That's
Medical services.
Very good. Right there's nursing.
Yeah,
nursing. Nursing. Excellent.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay.
Anybody else do anything really cool that's unusual that we never heard of before that you think the church needs to know gets done? Anybody else?
I got a hand waving.
You got somebody waving a hand back there. All right. Find out what it is.
I go to school and I part-time help friends harvest berries.
Harvest berries. Oh, the last one. Farmers. We got any farmers here today?
That's right.
Raise
gotta
your
have
hand.
Some farmers.
Farmers. Where's the rest of the farmers?
Awesome.
Farmers.
That's great.
All right. Let me ask you this question. How many of you understand that what you do is important? God's work is important, and work itself is a blessing, not a curse. It's so important for us to get this in our head. For we've got to, something has happened over the last few generations that we get in our head that to actually have to be engaged in work on a regular basis is some sort of a curse, and we have an attitude of dragging ourselves out of bed to go to work instead of having that opportunity. These words are very early shown in the Bible having to do with work. Have dominion, subdue, work, keep, tend, cultivate. And they all indicate that God intended that even before the fall in the Garden of Eden that we should work. Work may have become more difficult because of the fall in the Old Testament, but work was never, is not, and cannot ever be considered to be a curse. We're celebrating today Labor Day in America this weekend. I, for one, am thankful that up till now our nation and economy still provides many opportunities for its people to find employment. We may not be able to have exactly the job we want for the pay we want with the ease and convenience we want, but I tell you this, 90% of the world's people would give anything to have a job of any kind in this country. Let's give God the glory for this country and for the work that He has given us. Amen. Iowa's unemployment rate is slightly at over 3% at the moment. In actuality, unemployment is zero and employment is 100% because people that are diligently looking for a job have one, and there are help wanted signs everywhere. If you don't believe me, just drive down Broadway in Delaware and just drive slow and just go in because you can find a job. They're there. So this last week on Tuesday, there was a job fair that opened up at the Outlets of Des Moines, which happened to be in Altoona. But the Outlets of Des Moines is opening up, and they literally are hiring hundreds and hundreds of people. So we're blessed. We're blessed that there are jobs that are available. So work is a blessing. Let me give you some things very quickly this morning. This is all pre-sermon. God is a worker. Perhaps you never thought of Him in this way, but that is how He first appears in the Scripture in the creation account, Genesis 1 and 2. God is a strategic planner, a designer, a civil engineer, a real estate developer, a project manager, an artist like no one. He is incredible. You could give Him any number of titles, but using these skills, He created something that was very good. How good was the creation? Well, it was as good as God, and God is perfect. No wonder, even all through the Bible, especially in Isaiah and Psalms, the Bible says that His works glorify Him, and His work is worthy of His name. God still works. Now, God works, God still works. John 5:17, Jesus answered, He was talking about those people that were complaining about Him, and it says, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." God continues to work. Now, this is all pre-sermon, but I want you to get this. Listen. Listen to Psalm 104 about our God and His work. I'm going to jump right into the middle of this. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that He may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens his heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which He planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats, and the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it's night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey. They seek their food from God. And when the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens, and man goes out to his work until evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Never forget who everything belongs to. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. And what you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever, and may the Lord rejoice in his works. And the works of God continue. God is busy. God did not just create everything, wind it up like a watch or like a big spring and step back and watch it. Everything that's going on this planet, God is sustaining. Bonnie and I went to the Mills Fleet Farm, which is a new one of my favorite locations just to wander around. And we went in there and we wanted to buy some certain things for our bird feeders because, you know, it's kind of our responsibility to feed all the birds, you know. And not exactly. But I got to look at just aisle after aisle of bird feeders and bird seeds and this, that, and the other. Do you know the birds themselves God has created and all those varieties of foods that we have captured and put in bags and everything that we feed them? You know, God created all those seeds as well. And everything that's out there, God created. And by the way, I really don't think we better try to take on this idea of feeding all the birds in the world. Do you think we could get that done? You know who's feeding the birds? You know who's feeding those young lions? You know who's pushing in an amazing way the water from the base of the mountains of the Himalayas all the way up to the top? Who pushes springs from the lower parts up to the top of a hill so that we're not carrying it up in buckets? Do you know who does that? God does. Do you know who carpets the hills with the grass and he pins them down with flowers and trees? God does that. Do you know who brings the prevailing winds to bring and change the seasons and to bring this rain that we need so much to make sure that life goes on? God does it. Do you know we're not doing anything to sustain ourselves? God works. He works. He still works. God in Christ did something else. Carried out the work of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen to these words. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Sometimes people get the idea that the Father sat back and watched the Son do everything, but the Bible says God was in Christ. He was with him in the suffering. Do you think that the Lord did not suffer with the Son as the Son suffered on the cross? He carried out the work of salvation. What's amazing is God uses people to continue this task and to work in this task. We are then ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Makes me want to pull over and just say to each and every one of you that are here today, the glory of God is immense. God's grace is amazing. God's mercy is unending. His love is beyond anything that we can compare it with. And God has loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for us. And if you're here this morning, I want to stand up here in the stead of God and I want to beg you in Jesus' name, trust Jesus to be your Savior before it's too late. Be reconciled to God. It's all because of the reconciliation worked out on Calvary's cross by Jesus when he died for us. I'm just warming up. Let me give you something else. Work is inherently good. Work is inherently good. I think it's on your sheet. You can fill it in. Work is inherently good. Why? Well, God didn't mind getting his hands dirty, so to speak, in creating the universe, and now he maintains it. Genesis says he worked to bring it into existence. So if he worked to bring it in existence, it must be good in and of itself, since by definition, God is good and he only does good. So if he worked, it must be good to work. God worked, and so work in itself is inherently good. And then next, your work is important. It matters. Your work, what it is that you do. And we listened to a lot of the different things that people do this morning, and I'm sure there are many, many more that we didn't think about and were not mentioned. But the work that you do, I see the lumberjack sitting right over there, Brother Kevin. His work is important. I see Joe, restaurant owner and city council and government. It's important. What we do is important. It matters. And the work that God gives each and every one of us to do has dignity in it. God created you in his image. And just as he works, he's created you to work. Genesis even says God has placed human beings in authority over all of his creation as managers. What does that mean? It means we, like co-regents together with God, are to go out and have dominion or subjugate the creation for the glory of God and for the good of man. We are not just going to work from day to day. We are going to work for God from day to day. Psalm 8:4 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor." Listen to these words. "You have made him," man, "to have dominion over the works of your hands, and have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." You know, God's given us jobs to do, and those jobs have to do with co-reigning with him right here on this earth. We're co-regents with God, and what you do matters. It's very important. There's no such thing as secular and sacred work. There is no such thing as secular or sacred work. Now, God certainly uses ministers and missionaries to meet spiritual and personal needs around the world, but they are not the only people doing God's work. Never let it be said that from the pulpit that Pastor Phil or Greg or Matt or anybody else, Jonathan, that when we preach up here, we think we're on some sort of a different level than everyone else. We're not. We've been called to do something, and we're doing it. You've been called to do something. You do it. It is so important that we understand that there is no secular or sacred. God is likewise interested in every physical, emotional, intellectual, and in the meeting of every need that people have. He cares about earth management. Now, I want you to get this. Write it down. It's not on your sheet. The general category of all worthy work is earth management. So, when somebody comes along and says, "Say, pal, what do you do for a living?" Then just stand up, straighten your back, bow your neck, and say, "I am in earth management. Thanks for asking." Because that's what we're doing. I'm trying to get something driven home to you. Work is good. God worked, we work. When we work, we're being like God. It's so important. Work is a good thing. Next, you should do your work in a way that honors God. Your work has dignity, you're created in God's image as a worker, and you're a co-worker with God. You have God-given abilities to carry out very important tasks, and he wants them done. All of this says that what you do for work and how you do it is supposed to bring glory to God. He should be pleased with it and with you as you do your work. I think that was the issue with Cain in the Old Testament. I don't think that Cain could be accused of not doing good work. It's just that it wasn't that God rejected Cain's work. It was that God rejected Cain. There was something in his attitude, something in his pride. There was something going on in Cain that just really was not acceptable to God. And so he rejected Cain and his sacrifice. So, Pastor, there is a hierarchy of spiritual gifts. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 12, 28-31. You just preached on these things. So, you know, doesn't God value certain jobs more than others? Well, judging by popular opinion, one might conclude that he does. For centuries, Christians have subscribed to a subtle yet powerful hierarchy of vocations. Just a few minutes ago, we had somebody say that they work at the landfill. We have dentists here. We have an attorney here. Let me get that correct. Not a lawyer, an attorney. I got to differentiate that, make sure I get that right. We have people of every walk of life that are in our building here. We have engineers, we have farmers, we have homemakers, you name it, we have it, salesmen. They're in our church, doctors, so many different people. And in our culture, sadly, our church culture, maybe it's because of the way we preach and teach, the hierarchy tends to put missionaries, evangelists, pastors, and priests, and we're no priest here, but they tend to put them there at the top. And then members of the helping professions, doctors, nurses, teachers, educators, social workers, next. And then lower than that, people that are in business, executives, salespeople, factory laborers, farmers, and what have you, they seem to get categorized. I'm talking about spiritual categories. You can take all of that idea and just throw it completely out the door because it's not true. So, Pastor, what determines the spiritual value of a job? Well, all legitimate work matters to God. He creates people to carry out specific kinds of work. God uniquely designs each and every one of us, fitting us for certain kinds of tasks. He gives skills, abilities, interests, personalities among us so we can carry out His work in the world. And it includes spiritual tasks, but it also extends to health, education, agriculture, business, law, communication, the arts, and on we could go. At the time the New Testament writers do you understand that there were probably not any, and if any, precious few vocational Christian teachers, preachers, evangelists, leaders? They didn't exist. Paul himself was a tent maker by occupation, along with his friends Aquila and Priscilla. 1 Corinthians 16:19, many other verses. Other church leaders practiced a wide variety of professions, including fishermen and many other things. There was no rank among vocations in God's sight. God values our work even when the product has no seeming eternal value. And this is the thing that I hear all the time. Somebody will come in and they'll just be all excited. Oh, I just go to work every day and I make this widget and it just doesn't matter. It doesn't count for eternity. I mean, this work I'm doing, I'm digging holes and I'm putting in telephone poles or whatever I'm doing. This just doesn't seem like it matters. It's just not important. Not like what you do, Pastor Phil. Oh, I think God might want me to do something like it. Well, listen, God calls people to do what I'm doing, but I want to tell you, it had dead sure better be a call. Don't just volunteer. At the time of the New Testament, hardly any were professionals in the sense that what we have today. God values our work in spite of its seeming or unseeming eternal value. And the significance of the job is perceived with this question: will the work last? Will it count for eternity? And the assumption is God values only the work that is work for eternity, but not the work that's going on for here and now. Boy, we are really making a terrible mistake, and we are completely missing the point with God. The implication is that unless I'm a preacher, a teacher, a missionary, or something like that, my work really doesn't count for God. Well, let me see if I can help you with that this morning. The first thing is, God created the world, which is time-bound and temporary. You understand that, right? He created the world, which is time-bound and temporary, and He declared it to be good and very good by its very nature. So He built something that was temporary. Was He wasting His time? God promises to reward people in the everyday jobs based on their attitude and conduct. Ephesians 6:7-9, Colossians 3, we're going to look at in just a minute. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And then God cares about the everyday needs of people as well as their spiritual needs. You know what? God cares whether people have food, clothing, shelter, and so forth. In other words, we're not going to show any greater love for God and love for our fellow man than by doing the temporary, necessary thing of going down there to this area where Harvey is hit and putting on boots and getting the mud out of some of those buildings, businesses, and houses and churches. It matters. It's important. God is interested in things that we do. God cares about the everyday needs of people, about food and clothing and shelter. Are you a food worker? I mean, are you a farmer? Are you in the distribution? Are you in sale food? Is there anybody here that has just sworn off food and said, you know what, no more food for me, I'm done with that? Anybody? We got to have it. Number four, God cares about people who will enter eternity to the extent that a job serves the needs of people. He values it because He values people. I want to help you today. I want you to understand that what you are doing is important and it matters and God cares about it and you are co-reigning and ruling and you are helping in earth management. Let's say that I am an earth manager. Ready? I am an earth manager with God. I pray that my kids have never heard me complain about the work I have to do. To my knowledge, they haven't. I pray that your kids never hear you complain and bellyache about having to work because you're sending a message you do not want your kids to get. In the Bible, to stand to your feet, we're going to read Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. That was the longest introduction to a message you've ever had. Colossians chapter 3, I promise the message itself is very pointed and very quick. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Is that what we have up on the screen? Yes. Read along with me now in a good strong voice. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And if you have the other passage, which is Titus 2, verses 6 through 10, let's read that together. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Father, add your blessing to the last few minutes of application. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Now, how can I truly glorify God in my work? I want to do this. If I'm going to be working, 45, 50, 60 hours a week, if I'm going to be doing these things, and I want my work to glorify God. How many of you really do in your heart, down deep, at the root level, you do want your life to glorify God? Just raise your hand up. All right, I do too. I want to bring glory to God, not shame. It's all about the fame of his name. Let's not bring shame to his name. Let's bring fame to his name. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of shame gets heaped on Jesus and on our Heavenly Father sometimes by shoddy workers. How can I truly glorify God in my work? Well, we're over in that Colossians passage, and I'm going to make a few comments and look at a few verses. Number one, see that, first of all, I need to see my work as significant. I've already said this, but see my work as significant. Many people don't think that what they do is important. We get started talking about serving God, we automatically think of preachers, missionaries, evangelists, and school teachers, and we just think, okay, that's it. No. No, that's just wrong completely. We forget that all work is profitable. I love Proverbs 14:23, and I want you to get this and write it down in your mind. It says this in Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit. But mere words only lead to penury. You say, what's penury? Poverty. In all labor, there is what? Well, listen, I mean, even if the job you like is not to your likes, the labor that you have there is to your profit. And how many of you have done things in your life that you didn't particularly like the task at the time, but it came in handy later? Just raise your hand. Yeah, we could say that about what we studied in school and the work that we've done. In all labor, there's profit. God is a worker. Jesus is a worker. Peter, James, and John were fishermen. Paul was a religious fanatic, and he was busy at it. He was a vocational worker until he got saved, a vocational religious worker. He was a fanatic that finally saw the light, got an honest job, started making tents. That's Paul the Apostle. Most of our Old Testament heroes, we look back at the Old Testament, we talk about these heroes. Guess what? None of them were vocational Christian workers. Listen to this. Abraham was a herdsman. Joseph was a household slave, turned jail keeper, turned CEO of Egypt. David was a sheep herder, made good, and became president. Daniel was a government statesman. Nehemiah was a taste tester for the king of an occupying force, and then later a regional governor. Amos was a vine dresser. Deborah was the wife of Lapidoth, and she was a judge and motivational speaker. A lot of our heroes that God used so amazingly were not what you think of. And I'm not trying to diminish the calling of God for what he's given me to do. I'm trying to let you know that this is what God has called me to do, and you have something that God has called you to do. When we stand in line at the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord is giving out rewards, he is not going to give you a reward on what he called me to do. And he's not going to give me a reward on the basis of what he called you to do. He is going to pass out our rewards on the basis of what he called us to do. Did I glorify God in the widgets I was making on the assembly line? Did I glorify God in the mail that I carried from house to house? Did I glorify God? This is the point that God is making. It's significant that you do something that needs to be done. Now, it's important. If your work's going to be significant, then it needs to be work that needs to be done. There are some things that don't need to be done. Illegal activities, of course. Illicit drugs and alcohol and things. Prostitutes. Did you know that prostitutes are now being called sex workers? That's illegitimate. It's not something that needs to be done. In fact, it's a bane and a curse on our society. It's significant that you do something that provides for your needs and the needs of your family. Very important. That's what you're doing. And by the way, I run the risk of being a little trite here, but there's no greater way of saying I love you, honey, than to gainfully employ your time by providing for your family. And women, sometimes it's a good idea just to say, honey, you go to work every day, and maybe it's not the most favorite thing in the world you do, but you go, you come, you bring home the bacon, so to speak. And I want you to know that that discipline and that character means a lot to me, and I feel like I'm loved. And vice versa. If women, it doesn't matter which way that's going. There's no greater way to celebrate life itself than to honor your hard-working God and Jesus Christ than to spend your time in some task that provides a service to your fellow man. And I believe that work, and I believe in work. You show me a man that's excellent in his work, and I will show you a man that's worthy to stand before kings. And I didn't say that. Solomon did. A man who is excellent in his work. Do you know who stood before King Solomon time and time again? They were not so many of the priests. They were not so many of the prophets. You know who they were that stood before King Solomon? They were Aholiab and people of that name who were excellent. They were artificers and they were carvers and they worked with metals and they were seamstresses and they worked with their hands and they knew how to dye wool. And these people, they stood before kings. Because why? Because they knew their job. They knew it well. They did it well. And they stood before kings. You know, it used to be an axiom, if you go to work and you do your job and you do it to the best of your ability, you will rise. Only evil people put people down who do a good job. So important. It's very significant that you do something that you consider a calling. Vocali is the Latin word from which we get our word vocation, and it means a calling. Do you feel a calling to your job, to your workplace, or are you just passing time? It's significant that you do something that gives you an utter opportunity to touch the world with the light of the gospel. So first, we need to see our word as significant. And second, we need to see our work as sacred. Sacred. In that Colossians 3:24 passage, it says in verse number 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Oh, it would help us so much if we got a cranky boss that just needles us and rides us like a bucking bronco every day of our lives. We need to get it in our mind we're really not serving him. We're serving who? We're serving the Lord. We're serving the Lord. Now, I want to tell you today, Monday is as sacred as Sunday. And the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are as important on Monday as they were on Sunday. Some of us have forgotten that we serve a sovereign that is over our boss. When we see ourselves as serving God, then we can do what we do with a better attitude. It appeared here in verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, this is it. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, whatever your hand does, wherever your feet go, whatever your tongue says, whatever your eyes look at, it all has to be to the glory of God. Truck drivers, accountants, administrators, doctors, teachers, lawyers, government officials, moms, dads, factory workers, construction workers, cooks, and you name it. We could go on all morning. Every job is a job done for God. If it is bringing home the needs for your family and serving your fellow man, then it is a job that needs to be done. Do it like you're punching the clock for God as you do it. It's so important. And so every job is a job done for people for whom Jesus died. Please watch out for the idea that church is church and business is business. Oh, I hear that all the time. Oh, you know, in the business world, you just got to do things. No. Honesty and integrity are just as important in business as they are in your Sunday school class. So important. It's nothing personal, somebody says. It's just business. Well, all business is about people, and since it's about people, all business is personal. Finally, see my work as the place I am sent. Ooh, that's that word apostle, isn't it? See my workplace, see my job as the place that I am sent. Apostolon. It is the place I'm a sent one. Jerry is a chaplain over here for the Polk County Jail, and we support him as a missionary. But Jerry, whether you get a dime of support or not, that opportunity sees you as a sent one to be to that place. But Mark is sitting right behind you here, and he works out at the landfill with a bunch of guys, and then from what I hear, there's a bunch of interesting guys who work out there. They don't line up and say, "What must I do to be saved?" each Monday morning. But he's been sent. He's a sent one, just like you're a sent one. This is so important for us to understand. See my work as the place I am sent. Verse 22 of the first says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." I have to see my job as significant. I have to see my job as sacred, and I have to see it like I'm sent there by God. What would happen if every Christian got up in the morning and went to work for God? What would happen if every Christian was aware that his work habits were casting light on Christ, and you are working for God and not men? What would happen if every Christian was aware that his attitude at work was adorning the gospel of Christ? You see, because we have this treasure in earthy vessels. We have this treasure of the glory of God. We have this treasure of the salvation message. We have this ability and responsibility to reconcile others to God and to give them the message of reconciliation. And we do that in earthly bodies. We do it as humans, and humans are fallible. And so we have to check ourselves all the time to make sure that when we go to work, the way we live, the way we work, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we communicate, the way we do our work, even the excellence of our work adorns the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that is favorable and not negative. How many people have wanted to open their mouths and tell the good news of the gospel to people, but because they're late every day, or they're lazy on the job, or they're incomplete, they don't finish, the people look at them and say, "Man, you really don't have much to offer by the way of your life." This passage, and I'm going to finish it quickly here in Titus 2, 9 to 10, exhort bondservants, and you just might as well write employees. We don't have bondservants in that sense, but bondservants were people working off a debt. They were working to pay off a debt. Well, exhort bondservants, better yet today, employees, to be obedient to their own masters, their bosses, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You know, some people hear what we're saying, but they also see what we're doing. And the two things don't match, so what we're saying doesn't carry very much weight because what we're doing is contradicting it. I told you a few weeks ago that our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. It's so important. That verse, let's break it down. It says, obedient to their masters. What's that about? Well, it's about authority. Do you recognize authority in your workplace? Do you follow instructions? Do you comply with the standards? Do you pay your fair share of taxes? Or do you do what you're supposed to do in under authority? We're supposed to be well-pleasing in all things. What's that about? It's about excellence. Are we striving to do the best job that we can do? Now, folks, I am not the example of excellence in everything that I do, but I want you to know that I never come to the pulpit shooting from the hip. Bonnie never has to remind me to get a sermon together on Saturday afternoon so that I'm ready to say something on Sunday. Now, what I deliver you from week to week may not be the best in town, but I tell you one thing, it has been prepared and prayed over because I'm going to work at this. So important. Well-pleasing. Excellent. Do you take pride in your work? Do you do it the right way? Do you do the right materials? Did the job on the construction job call for sheetrock that was treated for moisture to use in the bathroom, but since the owner doesn't know anything, you just use regular sheetrock? Get the point? Do you cut corners? Do you falsify records? Do you what do you do? We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to do things the right way with excellence. We're not supposed to answer back. What's that about? Well, it's about conflict. Do you communicate clearly and courteously? Do you cause, inflame, or seek to avoid and resolve conflicts? Are you a conflict causer or are you a conflict solver? Do you, for your part, seek to cooperate for the overall success of the business or promote divisive competition? Competition is good, but divisive competition that destroys the bottom line is not good. Not pilfering. Honest integrity, keeping your hand out of the till. Do you make an honest accounting of your hours? Let's just put it this way. On your expense account, do you charge all kinds of personal things on there and say it's business? I'm not getting many amens right now. Do you show all good fidelity? I'm just breaking down the Bible here. I'm just reading it. Black ink on white paper. It's what it says right here in chapter 2 second chapter of Titus. It says here, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, loyalty, dependability. Do you keep your words? Keep deadlines as far as possible? Do you enhance or damage your company's reputation? And the way you work either enhances or diminishes your company. And I'm going to tell you even worse, the way you work or don't work enhances or diminishes the testimony that you have in the workplace. And by the way, your workplace is your greatest mission field. So how about it? What if you did go to work for God's glory in your effort and attitude every day? How about it if you took this job and loved it for the sakes of God, for God's sake? You've heard it, take this job and shove. How about take this job and love it? For God's sake and for the glory of God and for the opportunity of the gospel. You know what? If you really loved your job for the glory of God and you did your best every day, it would give your labors a meaning because you'd be doing it for God. It would give your life a message. I'm doing this to glorify God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. And it would give your Christianity a method to evangelize. Boy, I wish I could take all of your picnic time today to just talk about this. But I just want to say to you, when I hear people say, I just don't know who I have that I can share the gospel with, all I want to do is just ask you, well, do you have a job? Do you live in a house? Do you have people that you can call by name? That irritating person that works beside you, across the hall for you, or over there, maybe that person's the object of the Great Commission, not just your competition and enemy. We go to work for the same reason we go to worship. We go to work for the same reason we go to worship, to declare God's glory and to serve. You see, if we don't see ourselves as significant, sacred, sent servants of the Lord, then our light goes out, we focus on ourselves and our rights, we focus on our own agenda, and the gospel message falls down. There are billions of reasons for Christians to go to work for God every day. What are those billions of reasons? Lost people. Billions of lost people. You're the only Bible most people will ever read. You are the only reflection of Jesus that most people will ever see. You are God's A plan for evangelism in Central Iowa. We didn't have any baptisms today, and it was a day for baptisms. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if our staff, the little team of workers that we have, are the only ones seeking to reach people with the gospel, it's going to be very slow. Because we look at each other and work with each other and are locked inside of a church a lot, and we have to go out of our way to find somebody on the outside. But you know what? Every day you get up and you go to work and you go to school and you go through life, you are rubbing shoulders with, talking with, dealing with the objects of the Great Commission. You are dealing with the people for whom Christ died. Are they jumping up and down saying, please tell me about Jesus? No, but if you'll just listen. you will hear heartbreak, and you will hear stories, and you will hear devastation, and you will hear weeping, and you will hear people who do have an open window to their life for whom you can say something like, you know, I'd like to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And see where it goes. Folks, we are God's A plan for the evangelism of Central Iowa. We ought to think very seriously about our right to work. God has given us a wonderful, wonderful privilege to earn money, to take care of ourselves and our families. But if we have it in our mind that the only reason that we go to those places is just for ourselves, we're missing it. Because we are in earth management for God, and these are jobs that need to be done. Do it to the best of your ability. And second, you're doing it alongside of people that do not know your God. They do not know your Jesus. Glorify God in your work. How many of you are glad God's given you the ability, both physically and a job to do, and you can do it? Would you just raise your hand? Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads, make an altar out of that little bench piece in front of you. The pianist is going to come and she's going to play. And I'm going to just put it this way. Maybe the revival needs to start at something as simple as this. I'm going to take my every day of my life and try to live this Christian life, not just on Sunday. I'm going to begin coming to church on Sunday to get instructed, encouraged, and helped, but I'm going to start living on Monday like that's my real purpose. I'm going to live on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday, and I'm going to live that, and I'm going to work that work and do that job and serve these people, and I'm going to do it for the glory of God with all of my might, and I'm going to do it in an excellent fashion, and I'm going to give God the glory. And then I'm going to open my eyes to behold those that are around me that need the gospel. I'm going to open my ears to hear the cry of desperation, of pain and hurt and heartache, and I'm going to be available to help them find their way to the cross of Christ. Your job is your greatest, it is your greatest open door to the lives of many people. Please use your job as a place to properly adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I just have to say, since I have mentioned the gospel of Jesus Christ so many times, and since I started off this sermon by saying, I want to beg you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God right here, right now. I want to ask the question, are you here today and you don't even know what this is about and you're not saved and you've been to church a lot, but you've never had a relationship with Jesus. You've never called on Him to be your Savior. In other words, if you were to die today, you have no clue of your destiny, but you certainly would like to have your sins forgiven. You'd love to go to heaven when you die. You say, Pastor Phil, I don't know all of this stuff, but I sure want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Savior. If you're here and you're like that, would you just raise your hand? I won't make you make a speech. I just want to pray for you. If I die, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, and I want Jesus to save me. And Pastor, pray for me. If you're like that, just raise your hand. And I want to beg you in Christ's stead, come to Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand up. I want Jesus to save me from my sin. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. God bless you, young lady. May the Lord save you from your sin. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anyone else? I'm hearing this. I'd love to have this kind of an attitude and joy in my life from day to day. But if I died today, I do not have the confidence that I would go to heaven. But I want to. I want Jesus to save me from my sin. And sinner I am, and I know it. I want Him to save me. If you're here and you're like that, just raise your hand. Anybody else? Already, some of you have raised it. I see your hand, little lady. God bless you. Anyone else? I see your hand, sir. God bless you. Amen. Maybe God's going to do something on Labor Day. All right, I see your hand, sir. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Anybody else? I want Jesus. Now, I know He wants me. He died for me, and now I want Him. I want Jesus to save me. Pray for me, Pastor Phil. Now, dear Lord, on behalf of these who have raised their hand, I ask You, dear Father, to save them. Reveal to them their need. reveal to them, Lord. Help them understand that sin is a separator, and it's separating them now. And oh, the great danger is it will be an eternal separation from you in hell forever. But oh, you have said, come unto me. You've said everyone that's thirsty and everyone that's hungry, they can come. And everyone who wants to be saved, they can come. And whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, that's what you said. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to work in their heart. And I pray that you'd give them a hunger for this salvation more than anything else in their life at this moment. Lord, save them. Bring them to your feet, Lord, and help them call on you. Do it today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. It's not time to hit the exit. It's time to pray. This is why we exist as a church, dear friend. You're here today. I just prayed for you to let Jesus save you from your sins. And all of our people are going to keep their heads bowed and eyes closed. And we would like to talk to you and share Jesus. In 3 minutes of time, share how Jesus can save you from your sin and how you can forever be destined for heaven. You say, what do I need to do? Well, you just need to swallow any pride and need to ask permission where you are and step right out and come take my hand right here. I've prayed for you. Now you come. You raised your hand. That's wonderful. Now take a step. Just take a step and come to Jesus. Won't you do that? Just come to Jesus right now. Please, I'm begging you in Christ's stead, just like the verse that I quoted said, be reconciled to God. Come to Jesus today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Who else? Who else? There's somebody. Now, who else? Well, you raised your hand. That's wonderful. Why don't you come to Jesus today? There's nothing going on in the next 15 minutes that's even close to as important as what I'm sharing with you. You raised your hand. Now come to Jesus. Little lady, ma'am, sir, I prayed for you. You heard me pray for you. And God's not going to not answer that prayer. He will save you, but we have to give you the information. Why don't you come to Jesus? Is there anyone? Anyone else? Please come. Come to Jesus. Some of you might be here and say, Pastor Phil, I'm real uncomfortable with you making an appeal like this for people to come to Jesus. Well, I'm real uncomfortable thinking people might walk out of here not knowing Jesus. And I want to just say one more time before we close this portion, please. Even after we dismiss, I'm going to stand right down front, and I'm not going to go anywhere until the last person is out of this room, because I want to be available so that you can hear the good news and you can be saved. And when other people go out the rear door, you come, just come forward. People are not going to think bad things about you. They're going to rejoice that somebody is being drawn to God by His Spirit. Dear Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the opportunity to be in church today. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us. I pray that you would continue to work in the hearts of people that are here today. Help all of us now as we go to realize that when we get up on Mondays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or whenever it is, and we go to a workplace, or maybe we stay up all night to work, Lord, whatever it is, we are doing it as children of God for the glory of God. Lord, help us go to work for you. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for our jobs. Thank you that up to this point, the economy has supported us to be able to be engaged, to earn money to live. Now, Lord, please, these that have raised their hand, please don't let them go home without Jesus today. Please let them come. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.